And welcome back to Y2CL Radio. You know, I don't have as cool of an intro as Spoiler Country has with Kendrick doing his United Armies of Spoiler Country, unite! And welcome back to Spoilerverse! Or the other one he does, which I guess now is Join the Cult and welcome back to Spoiler Country! Which is, you know, really great intros. Mine's just, hi, welcome back, this is the show, this is the title, and I'm John, how you doing today? I don't know, mine is cool, whatever. But this is the show where I talk about shit, where I sit in a car with my microphone and kind of just ramble on about topics. I try not to go on tangents on the show. I mean, I go on enough tangents on Spoiler Country and on Haphazard. The other two shows that I'm on, well, two of the three shows I'm on, I'm also, Kendrick and I just started a new show called Moose and Scroll about Supernatural, but that's not why I'm here today. I'm not here to just pimp to you all the shows that I'm on. I'm here to talk to you about DC Comics, because I decided I wanted to talk about comic books, because I never talk about comic books on any of my shows. Those, I don't know, if you're listening to this show, you probably know who DC Comics is or what they are, but DC Comics used to be National Periodicals, started back in the 1930s, you know, it was reprinting of funnies from the newspapers in there, and then came out with their first, the first comic book of news stories in Action Comics number one in June of 1938, introduced a small, unknown character named Superman and Clark Kent, you might have heard of him, that kind of revolutionized the comic world. You know, Superman was the first real superhero in comics, you know, and there was others before him that did stuff, but he was the first blowout character, you know, the big one that took off like gangbusters, man. He was the guy. I mean, he had a TV show within 2 years. He had a cartoon within 4 years. I mean, movie serials, you know, 1940 through the 50s. Pretty much any decade that Superman's been printed, not the 30s because he was only printed, you know, from the last half of 1938, 1939, but from 1940 on, there's been some form of Superman television or movie coming out. You know, in the 40s, you had the Kirk Allen series. In the 50s and 60s, you had the Adventures of Superman with George Reeves. In the 70s, you had the Christopher Reeve movies, and you had the cartoon Super Friends. In the 40s, you go backwards. In the 40s, you also had the Max Fleischer Studio cartoons. In the 70s, I mentioned you had Super Friends and Christopher Reeves. In the 80s, you had Christopher Reeves. You had more cartoons coming out with the Super Friends and with other shows they did. You know, the Batman Superman Hour. Wait, no, sorry. The Batman Superman was in the 90s. In the 80s, you also had, I believe, you had the Superboy show started in 88 or 87. I can't quite remember. With John Newton and the other guy. I think his name was John. And I always think it's funny because my name, J.N., go back far enough. It used to mean John Newton. Well, the guy we're named after was named John Newton, so at least I think the actor of Superboy, at least the first actor for the first season of the Superboy show was, that might be the 90s. I'm not sure. But when you get the 90s, you had Superboy again. You had Lois and Clark. You had the Justice League show start. You had the Batman Superman Hour, more and more stuff. In the 2000s, you had Superman Returns. You had more cartoon movies coming out, like the Superman Batman Apocalypse and Supergirl movie coming out, and all the Justice League movies coming out. Given the teens, you've got, you know, Man of Steel, and you've got more cartoons, and you got Smallville and the aughts. I like calling them the aughts. It's funny. It's Smallville and the aughts, and then, you know, in the teens, which just ended, you had Supergirl, and you had Superman coming onto that show, and you had, you know, so much. But anyways, basically, Superman's been a part of pop culture since the 40s, and Batman as well. You know, Batman, not quite as prolific on the decade stuff there. You know, Batman had a serial in the 40s. Don't think he really had anything on TV or on the movies in the 50s. I can't remember anything. 60s, he had the Adam West show. 70s, he was on the cartoon Super Friends. 80s, he had some cartoon stuff he was in. And then the 89 Batman movie with Michael Keaton. And then going into the 90s, you know, there was 90s was very Batman-centric because you had the Val Kilmer movie. You had the George Clooney movie. You had the Batman animated series, which was by far, for me at least, the definitive Batman. That is, for me, the animated series definitive Batman. Kevin Conroy is fantastic. Going into the aughts, you had the Nolan series. And then coming out in the teens, you had you know, Batman, Ben Affleck, you know, Batfleck and Batman v Superman and Justice League. Matt Reeves' Batman coming out here next year, I believe in 2021 or 2022. And you got cartoon movies all throughout, tons and tons of Batman cartoons. Batman, you know, kind of picked up a little bit and kind of cut out the slack as well. You've also got Wonder Woman, you've got Flash, and I mean, you've got like the who's who of superheroes, you know, the most name recognized superheroes in the world, but the outside of Spider-Man come from DC Comics. And it's fantastic. You know, I mean, there's an article, I believe it's an article or a quote or something by Alex Ross. I believe it's by Alex Ross. I'm in a car. I can't verify anything. So if this is wrong, I'm sorry. But basically saying that any superhero archetype can be linked back to one of the original seven of the Justice League. You know, you've got the Superman, the Batman, the Aquaman, the Wonder Woman, the Flash, the Martian Manhunter, and the Aquaman. I think I said Aquaman twice. Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Flash, Aquaman, Green Lantern, and Martian Manhunter. That's the original seven right there. Which, side note, I kind of fucking irritates me that the Justice League movie, they released a Unite the Seven poster, but they only had six in the movie, and they didn't even have... They didn't do it right. I don't know. And then Superman wasn't a founding. I don't know. Superman wasn't a founding member. I've gone on tangents on this before. It really pisses me off that they did a Justice League movie and didn't highlight the reason why it's Justice League, which was Superman and Batman. I don't know. Maybe that's my own prejudice on those characters or something that I've made up. But from my point of view, from what I remember at least, is that the Justice League is created by the original seven, and Superman and Batman are the leaders with Wonder Woman, the Trinity. And then Flash, Green Lantern, Aquaman, and Martian Manhunter are there, you know, they're all full members, and it's a big thing, but it's not like, I don't know, the Justice League movie pisses me off. Again, if you listen to the Justice League review we did over on Split Country, it's a lot of fun. We talk about liking it. I didn't want to be negative on that. I did like it. I mean, I enjoyed it for what it was, but it's not, I even said it on the episode, it's not a Justice League movie. It's a DC superheroes team-up movie, but it's not the Justice League, you know, it's not the Justice League. But anyways, I digress. But DC Comics, to me, I grew up as a huge DC Comics fan. I mean, I love Marvel as well. You've heard me on Spoiler Crunch talking about it, but I love the X-Men, I love Spider-Man. But I was a DC kid. You know, I grew up reading Superman and Batman. I learned how to read from Superman and Batman and Wolverine, too, about Superman and Batman comic books. I collected Superman because my dad collected Superman. I collected Batman because I thought Batman was fucking cool. You know, I got right into it in the 90s, the early 90s when The Death of Superman came out. So I had all The Death of Superman, the variant covers. And there's only two, well, there's three, the platinum versions. I didn't have the platinum version because, you know, I was a kid. But I had the die cut cover with the poster, and I had the regular cover, the newsstand cover, which didn't have the poster. Although technically there's three covers because there's a die cut cover. I think there's four covers, actually, of those. Because there's a die cut cover, there's a regular cover, and then there's a newsstand version of each of them, which has a barcode instead of a different barcode, which is interesting, which I could talk about on a variant episode one time about newsstand variants, which is kind of fun. But I had all those. I was collecting Superman. I was collecting all the Superman main comics. So I collected Superman, Adventures of Superman, Action Comics, Superman Men of Steel, and then I did Superman Men of Tomorrow, which was a quarterly book that I did for a couple years. I collected any offshoots they did. I was also getting Batman, so I'd get Batman, Batman Legends of the Dark Knight, Shadow of the Bat, Detective Comics, and then the offshoots from that as well. And I was also getting into Green Lantern and Aquaman. So I was reading and getting through a ton of DC Comics. I mean, there's a comic book called Aquaman Time and Tide, which I read so many times, mostly because there's a scene in it. And this is me being a stupid, you know, teenage, preteen kid. There's a scene where Aquaman and this Eskimo chick get it on, and this line is like, they're talking, and she like drops, they're in the snow, which is ridiculous, they're in the fucking snow, so it's freezing, and she drops her jacket, and she's naked, and all you see is like her like legs, you know, her naked legs, whatever, and she's like, who's the one who's always warm? Warm me. And I was like, oh, it's hot, because I was like 13, and I'm like, oh, fucking Aquaman's doing an Eskimo chick. It's awesome. Again, 13-year-old me thought that was awesome. But, I mean, I do remember, I can't really tell you what that book's about now because I haven't read it probably in, God, 20 years or so. But I remember liking it a lot. I remember reading it a bunch. But it wasn't a story that stuck with me. I think I just reread it over and over again for that one scene, which is kind of sad. You know, but I did read Death of Superman and Return of Superman and Funeral for a Friend multiple times. And I read Nightfall, which is where Bane broke Batman's back. I read that several times. You know, I read the Parallax story from Green Lantern. I read that several times. So I was really big into DC comic books. you know, but it's funny because growing up, I thought one thing about DC and Marvel, but then learning, and it just, it was ignorance of me listening to my dad. You know, something my dad said. My dad, you know, he was a big Superman fan. I mean, at one time, he had collected Superman 1 through 423, which, if you know what that means, that means he collected the entire run of Superman before they renamed it Adventures of Superman back in 87 and then restarted Superman number one with John Byrne, or John Byrne, or however you pronounce his name. You know, he had the whole thing. He had tons of action comics, and he had a Superman encyclopedia that he had read the whole thing on, so he knew his fucking Superman lore way more than I do, and I know a lot, but he knew way more than me. So I grew up, you know, inundated with Superman and Batman and DC Comics, you know. And it wasn't like that my dad or I grew up, we grew up hating Marvel. We grew up enjoying Marvel, but my dad was always, you know, he used to say that, you know, DC is gods trying to be human. Marvel is humans trying to be gods, right? Which is very, very true. But I also grew up thinking that Marvel was like the more adult stories, or like the, they have like these world building events, and they're more trying to be edgier, and DC was the more kid friendly stuff. Which couldn't be farther from the fucking truth, because DC is very much the company that pushed a lot of boundaries in the 80s and 90s and 70s and 90s. Not that Marvel didn't. They certainly did. But when it came to more adult-themed storylines or darker storylines that really, really weren't kid-appropriate, that was definitely on the DC side. There was a lot of stories. I mean, you know, there's a lot of stories in DC that were totally 100% kid-appropriate and just fine. But a lot of dark themes in there, like, you know, Kyle Reiner's girlfriend being killed and shoved into a closet, which created a whole movement of women in closets, and the whole you know, Killing Joke and The Dark Knight and all these. Again, those are technically one-shot offshoots, but they're still a lot more mature than most of the stuff you saw over on the Marvel side. Now, Marvel did a bunch of stuff that was very mature and very thought-provoking, especially in the 80s with X-Men, which I'll talk about that when I talk about Marvel Comics. I'm not saying Marvel was a kiddie la-la company, but going into the modern times, the last like 20 years, and when I say that, it's weird because I mean like the 2000s, because 2000 was 20 years ago, which means I graduated high school 20 fucking years ago. God, I'm fucking old. I mean, I'm not old. I'm only 37 right now, but I'll be 38 here pretty soon. But still, this makes me feel old when I think about 20 years ago I was in high school. But you think about DC and Marvel then, you know, Marvel and DC was kind of, you know, Marvel's doing a lot more socially approachable stories. I don't know. They still, some stuff pushes the boundaries, especially since Disney bought them. It's been a little, I think it's been a little different, a little bit more on the, not PC. PC is not the word, because they're definitely not a PC company. Not in a bad way, or not in a good way. Just more approachable stories, even though they got kind of super convoluted, I guess. And DC has a tone of a lot of the darker stories. I mean, DC Black Label really pushes the buttons there. DC does a lot of the Batman stuff, just a lot of dark stories. But anyways, it doesn't matter, right? It doesn't fucking matter. All that matters is when I was growing up, I thought DC was like the la 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 kitty stuff, and Marvel was the roar, I'm evil. Not evil, but I'm the mature stuff. But it really was kind of the opposite, but they both have their ups and downs of each one of them. And it doesn't matter, because whichever one you like is the one you fucking like. You know, I was, when the Batman movie came out in 89, I was 8 years old. 9 years old? No, I was 7 years old. I was 7 years old, yep. Because I was born in 82, 89 minus 82 would be 7. Yeah, so there we go. I can do math. And I went and saw it with my dad, and it was amazing. I mean, I didn't quite know what I was watching, because I was 7 years old. I knew who Batman was, obviously. And I knew who Catwoman was, and even though Catwoman was not in the first one, I knew who the Joker was, what I meant to say. My brain was picturing the scene on the rooftop with Catwoman and Batman from the Batman Returns movie. But still, you know, I knew who they were. And, you know, the movie did kind of get me interested more in comics. I had been reading stuff up to that point. But, like, the comics that I had at that time were, like, Archie, Huey, Dewey, and Louie, which were fine. I mean, I like the Duck books. I like Archie. They're fine. They're good stories. Archie is a company that you should definitely check out if you want some good stories. But they got me into more, we want to read more Batman and more superhero stuff. So that's what I did. That's how I got into it. And I started reading more. And then by the time Batman Returns came out in 92, I was super into it. I was having my dad buy me comic books. He was reading comic books with me. I was about 10 years old at that time. And, you know, I just fell in love with it. And then Batman Forever came out, and I don't care what anybody says, that movie will always hold a special spot in my heart. Came out in 95. It had Jim Carrey as the Riddler. I was a huge Jim Carrey fan back in 94, 95. I still am. I love the guy. But 94, you know, Ace Ventura, Dumb and Dumber, and The Mask all came out, and I love all three of those movies. And The Mask, I still contend, is one of the best comic book movies to come out in the 90s because it's fantastic. It got me into The Mask. I ended up buying all the comic books and reading them and falling in love with the character. He plays the Riddler. I think he did a great job as the Riddler. I think he could have been a better Joker, but I think he did a fantastic Riddler. I think he could still play the Joker nowadays, but he probably never will, especially not with Joaquin Phoenix's Joker being, you know, an Oscar-winning performance or whatever. But, you know, I loved that movie. Then Batman and Robin came out in 89. At that time, I was in high school or junior high. I was in junior high, and I was walking around Silverdale, the town, one of the towns I grew up in. And we used to go see movies every day or so because we were bored, nothing to do. I saw Batman and Robin probably 7 or 8 times in theaters. Not because this is a great movie, but just because it was there. It's also I saw Mummy 4 or 5 times because I walked out and saw it. I'm like, oh, what's this movie? Brendan Fraser, who's that? The Encino Man guy? That's pretty cool. But I liked Batman and Robin too. I mean, it's campy. It's dorky. Kenrick from Split Country fucking hates it because he hates Joel Schumacher doing Batman. And I get it because it's so campy, but it's fun. You know, I don't mind Arnold Schwarzenegger and Mr. Freeze. I thought it was kind of cool. I mean, it's not the best performance, but it's perfect for what the movie is trying to tell you. But, you know, and then, you know, then I got out of comic books for a while. Really, in high school, I got into music and I got really heavy into writing and recording music. So I got out of, you know, reading comic books, got out of writing and drawing comic books. You know, I always wanted to be an artist and stuff. So I would draw all the time. But when I was doing music, I wasn't really drawing too much. So I got out of it. And then I would draw like band logos and stuff for the band, but I wouldn't do, you know, comic book arts like that. I would just draw band shit. But then I graduated high school, got into college, got back into art heavily in like 2001. And then getting back into art, coming back into comic books. Then we started the business. I used to, as you may or may not know, I used to run an online comic book store with my sister and my dad called JKLM Comics. Originally called Red Devil Antiques, Red Devil Treasures, whatever. But it was my dad, my sister. It was mainly my sister and me, and her then boyfriend, now husband, Mike, my brother-in-law, who's amazing. He's a fantastic artist. I really wish he would put more effort into his art, not into his art, but into pushing his art to you know do something with it. But that's up to him. I can't make him do it. But then I got was doing that, and then my dad came in, helped out too. He was at the time he was working a full-time job. But he helped out with – he was like our funding backer a lot of times, but he was our buyer. Him and I would do all the buys, which is awesome, going to people's houses off of – we put an ad in the Little Nickel saying we buy comics and collectibles. And we would get calls probably once a week, once every other week, and we would go and meet up people at their houses or in mutual places and look at their comics and buy them for whatever they asked for them. Well, not really whatever they asked for, but we'd haggle with them, you know, to get a good price, make sure they got a good price, and make sure we got a good price so we can make our money back and shit like that. But that was a lot of fun. And doing that got me back into reading comic books, got me back into collecting comic books. I still, this whole time, I always had my comics. I had like a box or two of comics I'd saved that I had never gotten rid of. But then it's got me into collecting. I'd always liked Daredevil, but I discovered him more. I'll talk about that more in the Marvel episode. But I started collecting, like going crazy and collecting anything with Superman in it or anything with Batman in it, which was expensive. Sold off a collection, rebuilt a collection, sold off collections, rebuilt collections. I did that constantly. But I've always had a heavy DC aspect to what I collected. And more than likely, it's 100% from my dad. My dad was big in the DC, like I already mentioned. That's why I leaned towards it. And I fell in love with the characters. I just fell in love with how, you know, how they're represented. I can speak, guys, I promise. You know, in the 2000s, I got back into it. I started reading some more again. The business crashed. I got married. Not didn't really crash. What happened is my dad got cancer. So we stopped doing the business so we could all focus on his well-being. And my sister and I got daytime jobs and Mike got a job so we could help out with bills. And so my dad could retire. And we started the business off and on. We pretty much stopped it. You know, we went to Comic-Con three times because the business down in San Diego, did Emerald City a bunch of times. It was pretty awesome. Maybe I'll do an episode sometime on the old business. But really, we stopped it because my dad got cancer. We all needed to then find real jobs. So I went to work at a bowling alley, which is subsequently where I met my wife, the lovely Kaylee, the co-host of Haphazard Adventures. You may have heard her a few times. She's fan-fucking-tastic. And her birthday is in 2 days of recording this episode, at least. Because I'm recording this February 12th. So wherever you're listening to it, just know that in 2 days from this recording is my wife's birthday. And she'll be turning 33. And if you speak Irish, you'll know what that means. I don't know if you can actually speak Irish. I don't know. It's just a funny joke. But I got out of it for a while. I got married, had kids, got really into webcomics again, because I was doing webcomics, which you've heard me talk about before. So I was really working heavily on making webcomics for like 13 years on and off. Then I got back into comics a lot towards probably about 2011, 2012, a little bit, because my dad was in it. My dad and I would help my dad find books and stuff. And then my dad passed away, and then I kind of went insane. The only way I could find myself dealing with my dad's death was buying comic books, buying collectibles, trying to complete his Superman set. So I found myself buying anything Superman old that I could find on eBay or at a store, so much so that I fucking bought a pizza box from Walmart and kept the box because it had Superman from Man of Steel on it in 2013. So, I mean, I kind of went insane. I maxed out a credit card two or three times, but buying comics on eBay and other websites. My wife was wonderful. She supported me. She ultimately knew why I was doing this, but she didn't give me a lot of shit about it. She let me kind of cope the way I needed to cope. I ended up working a bunch of overtime to pay the bills of the credit cards that I maxed out. I had to pay for it somehow. I didn't go crazy so much that I made us go broke because I was spending too much money on comic books, but it definitely hurt us. I mean, I definitely did not do us any favors by buying, thousands of dollars. I won't tell you how much because I'm kind of embarrassed by it, but thousands of dollars on comic books. Granted, I got a bunch of really nice ones, but, it wasn't the point. So that happened, and I got back into buying new comic books. I got a subscription at the local comic book store. I started buying, pretty much all of New 52 every month, which was expensive. Every week, it was like, $50, $60 a week in comic books, which just adds up. It's $150, $200 a month in new comic books. I started reading them all. I had this goal of reading all of New 52 in order as per printing order, which was insane. I was like, oh, it's one big giant connected story. I need to read all of this. So I did that. I read like the first 2 years of New 52 that way, but then it just became so much fucking work. I just couldn't keep up. So I kept buying them for a while, and I'd read it when I could, and I bought the Harley Quinns when it started out, and those were fun. I found DBCS services, discount comic book services, whatever. Did that for a while, where I'd pre-order a bunch of variants. I got into the variant game, which I fucking hate. And I was buying and reselling on eBay, and then I got into that, and then I just got to where I was like, fuck, what am I doing? I love comic books. I love reading them, but I hate collecting them. And I said that before. So I was, that's a topic for a different episode. Let's stick to the topic here, John. But I was buying a lot of DC stuff because DC is what I love. I mean, I just love it. I just love Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, all those characters. And I find myself, I like the secondary characters a lot too. I like, I love Jimmy Olsen. I love, Robin and Nightwing, and I love Damian. I love Damian Wayne a lot. I think he's a super cool character. But I understand people don't like him. And my love of DC Comics has gone on to my kids. My kids love DC. My son, his favorite character is Red Hood. And his son Jacob. And my son Jack, my youngest son, he loves Deadshot, and he loves Deathstroke, and he loves Robin. My girls love Batgirl and Wonder Woman and Supergirl, and there's my 9-year-old girl is super into Harley Quinn. Which, side note, it kind of sucks that they released the Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn, or renamed Harley Quinn Birds of Prey, and it's R-rated, so I can't take my daughter to go see it when my daughter can see Suicide Squad because it's PG-13, which is fine, but they make the follow-up R-rated, and then so she can't see it, which it sucks, and I'll let her see it when it comes out on streaming services or when I buy the Blu-ray or something. But it just sucks that they made it R-rated when I don't really think it needed to be R-rated, Or if they're going to make it R-rated, they should have made it R-rated from the first one, Because I think it's much more palpable for the public to take an R-rated character and move it to PG-13 than to take a PG-13 character and move it to R. Now, it worked with Wolverine, but Wolverine was also a character, the movie Logan, it was also a character that was getting more and more adult. You grew up with him. The people who loved him grew up with him from, for 15 years. And then Logan came out as R-rated, and it was a great cap off to the grown up, to the kids who grew up watching him. Because anybody who saw him in X-Men, by the time Logan came out, was an adult, which is a little different than, 3 years later than it's an R-rated movie. I don't know. I haven't seen it yet. I've heard it's really good. I plan to go see it hopefully this weekend with my wife before she leaves on a work trip, but we'll see. So, I don't read issues month to month anymore. It's just too much work and too much money. I don't have the patience for it. And I'm so busy with work and the podcast and my kids and my comic Ions that I just don't have time to read monthly issues. So what I do now is I just wait for a story to get completed and then I read the collected work, right? I buy the trade or I buy the douchey digital because I don't have the space to buy all the books I want to read. So I get the trade. And, you know, I mean, I read issues here and there, but most of the issue stuff I read is like indie stuff that's sent to me for review. But when it comes to DC, I'll read the trades. I'll read completed stories. I just picked up Mr. Miracle, which I want to read. I'm really excited to read that one. I know I'm late to the game on that, but, you know, we'll see. And I just picked up, some single issues I picked up. I just picked up the first couple issues of Jimmy Olsen, just because I love Jimmy Olsen. And I have not read them yet, but I'm looking forward to reading that. So, anyway, that's going to wrap up this episode. As you can tell, I love me some DC Comics. If you want to, you know, talk about DC Comics, hit me up on Twitter, Y2CL, or Instagram, Y2CL. I have a Facebook page. It's The Art of John Horsley. You can find it there. I'm not super active on it. Things post there from Instagram and stuff, but I'm not really on Facebook these days. I don't really give a shit about Facebook. I find it to be, one, a time sink, and two, just a bunch of fucking people bitching about shit. And I don't... As they say in the meme world, I don't need that kind of negativity in my life. But if you want to email me, jay@ytcl.net, check out my main website, ytcl.net, which is getting revamped. Hopefully by the time you hear this, it's already revamped to contain just basically all of my artwork. Not all, but, you know, artwork, comic books you can buy of mine. I have several comics out that you can buy, Jolene Nolan's, Furry Animal Magic, Sergeant Blankies, and Animates, Ains, that you can buy. And artwork prints. I have some prints. I don't do a lot of prints, but if it's any of my artwork you want a print of, I can make your print of it and sign it and send it to you. You can also check out my other podcast, Spoiler Country, which is all about, you know, comics and pop culture and movies. And we've been doing a ton of really awesome interviews. We just interviewed James Rowland, who is the creator of Blood Drive. We interviewed Jerry Conway, who is the creator of The Punisher and Power Girl. We interviewed Peter David, who, you know, did Young Justice and a plethora of other stuff. He's also one of the writers with DC versus Marvel. We also interviewed Ron Mars, who's the other writer on DC versus Marvel. We've interviewed Emily Swallow from The Mandalorian and Supernatural, Corin Nemec from Parker Lewis Can't Lose and Supernatural and Smallville. You know, we've interviewed a ton of people. We've got so much more coming up on Spoiler Country. So check it out over at scpod.net. I also have another podcast I do with my wife here and there called Haphazard Adventures. We talk whatever. It's just us doing fun stuff we like. And we play a game called How to Fucking Swear on the World. We drink beer and talk about it. We do whatever we want. So hopefully you find it fun, because I find it fun. So this is me signing off. Remember, be nice to your friends, be nice to your kids, and be nice to everybody you meet, because you don't know what they're going through. Have a good one. Down in the sewers, maybe flying in the clouds.
Bye.